Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Hello, hello, good morning. Chicago's Morning Answer, Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony.
Hey, hey, hey.
In for Dan Proft today.
Always glad to be here.
I know. What time did you have to get up to leave to come?
Three, but it takes me an hour to get here.
Oh, yeah. And in the snow, do you shovel?
Yeah, I shoveled yesterday.
I did too, and yeah. I'm in pain because I do my place, and then I have two pregnant women on my street, so yeah. I always hook them up.
Oh, look at you.
Well, because the husbands are working, and yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
And then there's another person on the street who lost her husband. I do her house.
Oh,
and
wow.
What 2 days in a row?
Yeah,
I had we need to stretch out before we need to do exercises.
Well, stop snowing
before. But what do you have, a snow plow?
No, the shovel.
Just
my
shovel?
Back and I didn't used to be the one shoveling. Now I got a shovel again.
Oh, like, who, oh
my son!
Your son was
like,
shoveling.
Oh God!
I gotta, now you've got all right. Well, how are you doing? I think about you guys
every single
day, and I ring the church bell for you, for my friend Leo, and for others that we've lost. Yeah. During the pandemic,
yes,
because of these, I feel, these draconian measures that have forced kids to do things, to feel things, to feel trapped, to feel no hope, to feel nothing, and make them numb.
And we just lost a friend, another friend.
Years, pardon?
We just lost another 20-year-old friend.
Oh,
yeah.
To suicide?
Yeah. So it's happening more and more and more and more. You want to know what we have a pandemic of? People killing themselves right now. Yeah. We got to get to the bottom of this. We have to do something about
this. We had three deaths in 2020 of COVID.
Yeah, wow.
And 49 suicides.
Yeah.
And still. And that doesn't, like, we've hit zero COVID deaths in 2021.
Right.
But 149 killed by gunfire.
Yeah.
Including 8-year-old Melissa Ortega.
Oh, that hurt.
Who, her mom spoke yesterday for the first time. They moved here 6 months ago. We thought it was 2 months, but they moved here 6 months ago. And they had just come out from the bank. And she wanted to go to McDonald's, and she got shot in the head by a stray bullet from some gangbanger in a black puffy coat with a black mask on and a black hat, fired a shot indiscriminately. You know, he did hit his target, but he hit her.
Wow.
His target's still alive, the 26-year-old, but who cares? Just stop shooting each other.
Please.
Here's her mom.
¿Qué le digo que me arrebató mi vida entera?
He took away my entire life. He took away the most beautiful part of it. He took away my purpose for being, the reason I got up every day. He took away a life full of dreams.
And Superintendent Brown, you know, trying to work this out.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, you're a former cop.
Yeah.
Well, listen to Superintendent Brown. Just tell me what you think.
The information we have related to this investigation is very delicate right now. We do have people cooperating with us right now, and we do have very strong leads.
So they can't say.
No.
And I get that as, you know, somebody that's been doing that. You know, we're working with law enforcement. They can't release certain things. So it sounds like they know who he is.
Because they don't want to tip him off.
Yeah.
Or the people that may know and may be watching, and if they, because there are people that know who did it.
Right, of course, but
you know,
nobody comes forward anymore.
Right. No.
The past 10 years, I've never seen anything like this. People used to, you know, call cops or, oh, what was his name, Russ Ewing from Channel 7?
Yeah. Was it Russ Ewing? Ewing?
Mike,
big, big, tall, big black guy with the bald head?
Yeah. Well, I think it was Russ Ewing. Yeah. And they used to call him and turn themselves in.
Yes.
He worked at Channel 5 then, too, for a while. Yeah. But they would call him and say, I did it. Just walk me into prison and walk me in so I don't get beat up by John Burge or somebody. We don't have that anymore.
No.
That is, and I know that's, but he helped turn in thousands of suspects.
Corey Brooks is.
Is he still on the roof, by the way?
He's still on the roof now.
What's my guy friend doing on the roof still? It's kind of cold out tonight and tomorrow.
He just made a post about it.
Okay, well, what's he on the roof for? To stop violence?
That and raising money, $35 million or $50 million to open up a community center.
$35 million. He's staying up there till he gets $35 million?
Well, that's what he says.
Have you been up there to visit him?
No, but Mark Vargas and I are going to go up there with him to visit. And he said, okay, we're going to go up there. But wouldn't it be something if, you know, these people that are running for office would just go and take a check? I mean, Ken Griffin want to spend all that money. How about just cutting that check?
And giving it to
and doing
Corey
something
Brooks.
That's beneficial.
And Corey Brooks, excuse me, he's a friend of the show. Yeah. And I he's got great intentions. I've always thought that. I've never thought there was anything nefarious going on. But I don't know if I'd be sitting on a roof still.
Yeah, with negative.
I mean, does he want to get away from his wife or something? Because I could sometimes see wanting to go on the roof of my house. But it'd be hard. I have an A-frame, so I'd be in an uncomfortable position.
Especially when Mike's saying it's negative, feels like negative 26 degrees blowout.
Yeah, that's not fun.
No.
All right, well, here, one person also, too, that we never get to play his audio because Dan doesn't want to hear from him is Andrew Holmes. I love Andrew Holmes.
I do too, actually.
He is out on the street. He is there. If somebody in your family gets shot and you need help, I swear to God to you, he will be there.
That's true.
Within, depending on where you live in the city, he will drop everything and he will come help you.
Yeah.
And he's trying to help find Melissa Ortega's killer.
Yeah. I don't care who your target was. You targeted that little girl. Because if you weren't targeting that little girl, she'll be still here living today. And any and everybody that's targeting people, what you targeting them for? Because when you miss, you hit our babies.
Yep, when you miss, you hit a baby. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. Let's go to Greg in LaGrange. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi. Just like the yesterday thing with the school board, just the absolute God complex these people have. We're living in some sort of alternate universe where our leaders in this city, and their failure doesn't sum it up enough, where they're more worried about COVID and children being sick and passing it on, and there are children dying in the street or taking their own lives because they don't see a way out, or they're despondent, or they can't communicate with their friends because they have a mask on, or they can't go see their friends in school. The damage that we're doing to ourselves as a civilization, you couldn't plan it. I'm not saying it's planned. I don't think in some cases they just don't know what the hell they're doing. And I think they're just following the same script. And we are losing generations of children here. And I do have some glimmer of hope that there will be a change in the mayoral seating soon. I think there are segments of this city and demographics of this city that have said enough's enough. But I don't see this city recovering for generations because of the damage being done. They're not the smartest people in the world, the ones that run this agenda. They're not smart. They're not the Lenins of the world or the Stalins of the world. They may have bad intentions or really, really, really misguided intentions, if that's the way you want to look at it, but they're not as smart as them, and they can be beaten, and they will be beaten, but it will take time, and the damage that they do will take a generation to unravel.
Well, who do you like for mayor? Who are you thinking about supporting?
I like Garcia. I like, you know, listen, I'm a conservative. I'm not going to get what I want in Chicago. Okay, I'm not.
Chewy Garcia?
And I'm not going to get the alderman, Ray.
Oh, Lopez.
You mean
Lopez,
Alderman Lopez? Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think he's the only one that's going to come out. He's not, he doesn't channel my views. He's a Democrat, but he believes in law and order. And I think you have to start with some of the basics, like law and order. Right. We cannot become a civilized society until we have our property rights and our personal rights and safeties protected. We don't have that now. It's not even close.
Yeah.
And all these big cities are suffering from the same thing. It's insane. And then the way they break you up through the whole COVID with the mask, it's just a dehumanization of these children, and they suffer the most. Adults can get through it because we're older and we can deal with it. Some deal with it better than others. But children, where do you draw the line?
All right. Thanks.
Where do you draw the line?
Well, that's a good point. And listen to the governor of New York. Oh, who, by the way, New York yesterday said that it's unconstitutional to mask children at school. But we'll get into that later. So that's a small victory.
It is.
Because we're going to have a big decision Friday here in Illinois about unmasking our kids. And that's going to be quite the day. But listen to the governor of New York. What's her name? Kathy Hochul.
Yeah.
I should get to know her.
Hochul.
I don't know if she's a short timer. Probably, maybe.
Yeah,
not.
She's not going to win again.
Who knows? But this is her processing how you should talk your child into wearing a mask at school.
So I'll say one thing about the kids. My daughter had a meltdown over having to put sneakers on to go to kindergarten. She got used to wearing sneakers in school. They adapt better than adults do. And I'm really proud of the parents who made sure that their kids understood this is for their safety and got it done. But we're looking forward to the day we can lift the school as well as the business requirements. We truly am.
You cannot. There's no. Where's the comparison? I mean, I'd see it not at all.
I should have turned my mic on.
Yeah.
But no, you can't. You cannot compare putting on sneakers to wearing a mask.
No.
And all these lawmakers, I swear to God, they do not go. I see them, folks. I see them on the fifth floor. They're not wearing their masks.
Yeah.
The glass elevator at the Thompson Center. I see you, ninth floor. I see you, Dr. Nzike, and your friends.
16th
not
floor.
Wearing a mask.
Yeah, the governor's.
Because that's where they're on the ninth floor, and then you go up to the 15th floor for the press conference. But yeah, it's a glass elevator.
Yeah.
We see you. I see you every day. And I got yelled at a church on Sunday because, I was taking sips of coffee. Oh. I sit in the back, I usher. And when I took a sip of coffee, this man, I'm not going to say his name, gets up. Whoops! While I'm drinking, and then I put it back on, and then he comes back. And then at the end of church, my pastor and associate pastor are like, You can't wear that anymore. What are you doing? What is that?
Oh, my God.
See, and it's not the thickest of masks, but it's not one of those sheer masks.
Yeah.
I can breathe.
Yeah.
I had bacterial pneumonia from wearing a dirty mask back in 2020.
I remember.
Remember that?
I remember.
I thought I was going to die.
I was here.
Right. But I'm just, so, are we supposed to show compassion in the church? I'm not standing near anybody.
I don't wear masks. We don't wear masks in our church at all.
You don't? I've been to your church.
Yeah, Pastor, there are no masks at all in there.
It's so insulting. I walked out on Sunday. I was just crying because I was in a bad mood anyway, and I just wanted to feel the love of God. And,
yeah.
And you're getting shamed. I'm like, I'm vaccinated. I've already had COVID. I'm not standing near anybody.
Yeah.
As my doctor said, if you cough or sneeze, a mask will help with that. But besides that, everything people are wearing is a bunch of bull jive.
They said they're
going to give me an N95. And I said, fine. I bought one at O'Hare in a vending machine. It was $40.
What?
For
a mask?
One KN95 mask. Uh-huh. Well, so, so I told them I'm not spending $40. If you want to buy me one, I'll wear one. Sure. I might wear a body condom next Sunday at church. Or my Tyvek suit. I could put that on and put a mask here and then one here just to mess with them. Like, do you love me now, Jesus?
Didn't put a real mask on. See, I've never had that reaction. No one's ever, put your mask on. I guess it's because of how I look.
No, because you're black.
You think that's what it is?
I swear to God.
Yeah.
You're a black man, and then me, people can't wait to anything.
Yeah.
There's a tall blonde. Let's get her. Let's make her life H-E double hockey sticks. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
People, it's a long story. But all right, anyway, we got a text message real quick. Amy and John, love hearing you two together. Andrew Holmes is awesome.
Yes.
He loves the police, and he helps out in so many ways. He was there yesterday with Keith Thornton, and Keith has the Heal Chicago organization, too.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Did you hear Keith? Keith went off too. Keith said, "Enough is enough." I had him on the show. We did a 2-hour show together a couple of weeks ago, and he just unleashed. He said, "Look, we got to protect the men and women that are out there serving us. We got, the way this leadership with Brown and Lightfoot." He said, "They don't care. They really don't." Did you see their tweets? There's nothing personable about the tweet. Oh yeah, we're aware of the 8-year-old girl who just got shot. And Keith posted about all of it, and he's like, stop, show some leadership, get out there, do a press conference. Did they ever do a press conference about the 8-year-old girl?
Yesterday, Lori Superintendent.
Lightfoot. Okay, yeah.
But Lori Lightfoot, she did something, they ask her, we ask her questions after her topic is said topic. But she said the usual, that's why I didn't even pull it for you guys to hear, because it's the same old, I feel, I have a kid too, I know it's like, it's horrible to lose a child. I don't think. I mean, personally, I think she is affected by every child that dies.
I believe that.
But now do something about it.
Yeah, I believe that.
Change the way you're doing policing. Change the leadership at the top of the police department.
I want Prosecutor Lori Lightfoot to come out.
Yes.
I want that Prosecutor Lori Lightfoot to get out there. I mean, she kind of showed it with the CTU debacle that was going on. I mean, she came out fiery a little bit Finally. That's the Lori Lightfoot.
It only took how long has she been in office? Since 2019.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like forever? Biden's been in office for a year. Oh, doesn't it feel like it's been 10?
It feels like it's been 30.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
All right, have you heard it? I don't even know. Can we say this on the air? Do we have to bleep it, Justin? What the president said to Peter Doocy, the young cub reporter from Fox News. Actually, he's a seasoned reporter now, but here it is, you son of a biscuit!
President, could you give us a brief update on your call with European leaders on what's happening
in Ukraine today? The only reason I don't like doing this is you never report on why I've called a meeting. Okay. And this is really important. I had a very, very, very good meeting, total unanimity with all the European leaders. We'll talk about it later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Why are you sending 8,500 troops to Ukraine, possibly?
Thank you, guys. Will you take questions on inflation then? Thank you.
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a
Oh, we did beep it out. What a stupid son of a biscuit. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. What he said was what Peter Doocy said, if you couldn't hear it. He said, okay, what about inflation? Do you think inflation is a political liability in the midterms?
Right.
And that's when Biden got a little cray-cray.
He hates him, though. Biden despises Doocy.
And then Peter Doocy, you know, jumped on.
Yeah.
You know, they were trying to downplay it at first, but don't. Let people in America see who this guy is.
Yeah. Who he really is.
Yeah, who he really is.
In the longer version of the clip, there was a group of reporters that were all gathered. We listened to him explain the Competition Council, which is the reason that he's having this meeting with most of the cabinet. And somebody shouted out a question about Russia, and the president said, I'm not going to take questions right now about anything off topic. So I shouted out something that's not on my two pages of questions about crime. Okay, what about inflation? Do you think inflation is a political liability in the midterms? And then he said that, and I couldn't even hear him because people were shouting at us to get out. But somebody came up to me in the briefing room a few minutes later and said, did you hear what the president said? And I said, no, what? They said, he called you a stupid SOB. And I said, did he say SOB? And the person said, no.
So, Peter, how does that make you feel when the president of the United States calls you an SOB? Yeah.
Well, you know, the White House and the communications officials here had been signaling last week when they had their first year in office anniversary that they were going to take a different approach with reporters. And we thought that that meant after he did the 2-hour press conference, oh, well, he's just going to be available for Q&A more often. But maybe it's more stuff like this.
Well, it's good that you can smile.
Well, if I don't smile, I'm just going to be a ball of tears, and I can't because I have to do a hit with Brett Baer in 10 minutes. So.
All right, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
What a great response.
And then Jesse Waters responded right back at him.
Oh, yeah, I say, well, you are a son of a biscuit. But then guess what?
What?
He got a call probably while most of you were sleeping. He got a call from the big guy.
Oh, really?
President Biden called Peter Doocy last night.
After years of clips of the president and I kind of mixing it up on the campaign trail and during the transition and here at the White House, within about an hour of that exchange, he called my cell phone and he said, it's nothing personal, pal. And we went back and forth and we were talking about just kind of moving forward. And I made sure to tell him that I'm always going to try to ask something different than what everybody else is asking. And he said, you've got to. And that's a quote from the president. So I'll keep doing it.
But, President Biden, remember back in January 2021? Yeah. I'm not joking when I say this. If you're ever working with me and I hear you treat another colleague with disrespect, talk down
there
to someone. I promise you I will fire you on the spot.
Yeah.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. I think Biden should give him a one-on-one in the Oval Office.
Yeah, but isn't that what journalists should be doing?
Yeah.
Not these canned questions that he has the answers to. Hey, I'm going to call on you because I know what you're going to ask me, and I got my answer here.
Right. I've got my answer in a binder.
Of course. I mean, imagine if President Trump has said any of this, had done any of this, took 2 hours and bumbled throughout most of the whole press conference.
I mean, Trump was rough on reporters.
Yeah.
Did he ever call anybody SOB?
Probably behind closed doors.
But I mean, on an open mic? No, because he's not stupid. I mean, Biden was sitting there. The mic was right in front of his face. He's like, you stupid. Yeah. And the way the look on his face, like, you stupid son of a beep. It was so creepy. Did I do my good Joe Biden impression, or did I creep you out?
No.
Bob in Buffalo Grove, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good talking to you, Randy, and also to you, John.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Good. I'm not going to necessarily defend Biden, but Amy kind of addressed it, but Trump was awful rough on reporters. Mm-hmm. You are fake news.
Yeah.
And then cutting off reporters, I'll have to admit, I don't think he actually got vulgar, but at least Trump did it to the reporter's face.
Right.
Especially Jim Acosta and a few others, where Biden, you know, is doing it behind the back. And we've known Biden has got some rough stuff. I mean, he was never vetted, really. You know, all the stuff he said going back dozens and dozens of years. He's been pretty rough. But I'm just wondering how the fake news, the left-wing media, is going to report on this. Because I caught many of the conservative media last night addressing this. And, of course, the interview with a couple of people interviewed Ducey. But how is the left-wing media going to...
They actually covered it. I watched... That's a good question, Bob. Thanks for calling. I watched, as usual, Dan always laughs at me. I watch NBC Nightly News religiously. I love Lester Holt. I know. But they covered it.
Yeah.
They covered it. And then I watched CNN, and Caitlin, I can't remember her last name, she talked about it, too, and she seemed genuinely upset that Biden called her, you know, colleague a stupid son of a... for no reason.
Yeah.
She described it as ridiculous.
You know, just to address Bob, though, I think when you look at candidate Trump, he was a little bit more nicer with the media. He called them fake news and all that. But it wasn't until they started colluding with each other and, you know, with the Democrat Party that he really got feisty and really angry at them. Because, I mean, they said
he had to fight back or they'd walk all over him.
Right.
So make up things, the whole Russian collusion, they all fell into that.
Yes.
Hook, line, and sinker.
I mean, imagine, what would you do? If that's all, I mean, the moment you get in office, the very first day, we got to end this presidency. I mean, and then the media all coming together saying this. Oh. And then, you know, I had Charles Thomas on the show.
How is he?
Oh, he's great.
I love him.
It was an amazing show because he called out the media. You know, he says he's been doing this for, I think he said 57 years, a long time. And he said, you know, the media, what they've been able to do to this country, he said, it's malpractice. And he said, we really have to get back and change and get back. He said, if I taught journalism today, I'd be canceled.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it was a great show.
There's no attribution. Normally, you don't have one source. You always have to have two sources.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to ask questions. These reporters, and I watch them, I've been for 2 years now.
Yeah.
And there are exceptions. I think the best reporter in town is by far Marianne Ahern. Yeah. That's my girl. She doesn't fear away.
Yes.
And if communication structure try to shut her up or take the mic away, she's like, no, I'm here and I'm asking my questions. I love it.
Yeah.
She's so feisty. But she does ask questions that are uncomfortable sometimes.
The hard questions.
But nobody else. Everybody wants to be nice. And then some just sit there and don't ask anything at all.
Did you know there's no follow-ups to Biden?
No. There's no follow-ups to Lightfoot a lot, or
that's
they
insane.
Literally take the mic away.
That's insane.
It's ridiculous. Marty in Naperville. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Morning.
So, Amy, you're one of the five that watch CNN, we hear. Okay, that's fine. Anyway,
no, I watched it last night.
I watch every once in a while. Yeah, I watch every once in a while to get a good laugh, too, because it's funny. But anyway, two things. Number one, with Biden calling him and leaving him the message and ending it with Cal,
yep.
It's like somebody from the South saying, bless your heart.
Yep.
What they're actually telling you is to go blank yourself.
Yeah, so true.
And number two, listen to what he said to Peter Ducey. He's not insulting Peter Ducey. I don't know why everybody thinks when somebody's called an SOB, they're insulting the person. Think about what he said. But there won't be anything said about it by the left media. It's just, see, it's all funny when Biden says something.
Yeah.
You know, Donald Trump says something, and it's, you know, this would be
take
the end
down.
Of the world. And,
right.
And off subject a little bit, how can anybody in the world trust anything that this Biden administration is going to do with the Ukraine situation after what happened in Afghanistan?
Oh,
the Ukraine would be smart to say, Biden, stay away from this.
That's true.
Leave it alone. But, you know, so anyway, thanks for giving me a few minutes.
Thanks, Marty, for calling. Yeah, we already have 8,500 troops
on
alert, prepared to deploy within 5 days. They said not to Ukraine, but the region. But we're going to talk about that at the top of the 7 and at 8:30 also with Ed Morrissey. 312-642-5600. Let's go to David in Lansing. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Good morning, Amy and John.
Hey, good morning.
I have a double win for Jen Psaki or Biden, whoever is president now. I'm kind of unclear about it. the Taliban in Afghanistan have a lot of our equipment, thanks to Joe Biden, you know, doing them a favor.
That's right.
That's right.
He just left it all there.
Yeah, so
left it all in the phone, so to speak.
I have an idea. It's a double win. We could maybe get Joe Biden to go over there and call in the favor, like a bargaining chip, you know, and have the Taliban go confront, use our equipment and sort of harass Russia, you know. They could be an ally in this, you know.
I don't think that's going to happen. But thanks for calling. But if you worked at the American Embassy in Ukraine, you think President Biden is going to help you get out if you don't help yourself right now and get out on a commercial flight?
Yeah.
But they're suggesting, you know, certain diplomats, their families for sure, and non-essential, I love that word, non-essential employees, because that makes you feel so good, to leave. And I would be leaving. I would have already booked my flight.
I'd be gone, too. I mean, I wouldn't trust anything with this administration.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
All right, 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. We have a lot of comments, and one for you, John Anthony, says, John, where do you go to church? Not wearing a mask at church sounds great.
Families of Faith Christian in Shanahan, Illinois.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I had a pack of lunch.
Yeah.
See you later, family. I'm going to Shanahan.
It's a nice little drive.
No, but it's a beautiful church, and I love your pastor, and we've had him on the show before, too.
He's doing some great things right now.
Ooh, like what?
He's going to be opening up 6 new schools in August. Grace Association.
And beautiful facilities. That school, during your son's, before the funeral started, or the celebration of life, excuse me. Walked through the school, saw the gym, saw the other, I mean, and everybody's so friendly.
Everybody.
You can see everybody's faces. It's like a different world. What are we doing here? Jerry on the Northwest Side, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yeah, good morning. Just a real quick complimentary comment about Mr. Andrew Holmes. For those that don't know him, he's an amazing man in Chicago. He shows up on so many crime scenes just to help everyone. Mm-hmm. He helps the families of the victims, helps the police. He does this all for nothing. He doesn't get paid. He's just truly an amazing man. He communicates with the victims' families better than anyone I've ever seen. And offenders also.
Yeah.
To be our next mayor.
Oh, you know what? Well, I don't know. Then he'd stop his role that he's doing now, and it's so imperative.
He's so impactful.
He stands there. It doesn't matter. You know, it's going to be, what, 25 below with the wind chill today? He'll stand there with flyers.
Yeah.
Doesn't care.
Anytime.
He will not stop until this person is put in prison.
No matter time of the night, no matter what time it is, too, he's there.
So real quickly, Jen Psaki, as Dan calls her, she was on The View. With some advice for us on how to handle the Omicron.
Oh, boy.
Okay, you ready? This is so fun. I'm glad that she's having so much fun with this.
So my advice to everyone out there who's frustrated, sad, angry, pissed off, feel those emotions, go to a kickboxing class, have a margarita, do whatever you need to do this weekend, and then wake up on Monday morning, we got to keep fighting. And what that means, Lindsay, is we have to keep talking to members about federal legislation. That's essential. That's something that can be permanent, that can make sure people's rights are protected.
Right. I'm sorry, Jen Psaki. In Chicago, if you're not vaccinated, You can't go to the gym to do that kickboxing class. If you live in Chicago or Cook County or parts of Highland Park, you can't go into a bar and have a margarita. Jen Psaki.
I mean,
she's having
Blackhawks.
So much fun. Pardon?
I got invited to the Blackhawks game because I'm not vaccinated. I couldn't go.
And you won't do the fake card thing?
No, I'm mad.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM560, The Answer.
All right, big news day today. American troops are getting ready to possibly go to the region in Ukraine. We're going to talk about that at 7 o'clock. Yeah, Biden needs a war right now, right?
They all do.
Well, let's not give him one. We'll talk to Scott McKay at the top of the hour. And then with our good friend Ed Morrissey at 8:35.
Oh, I love that.
But now some decisions were made, Mr. John Anthony, by the way, who's in for Dan Proft this morning.
Hello.
Last night, Highland Park, the overlords there, decided by a vote of 5-2 to keep the vaccine passports in place until February 14th. They had a big rally on Saturday, and people showed up. You know, they're not anti-vaxxers, just they're anti-vax mandates.
Correct.
You know, to eat, to go to the gym, to go to a movie, to go bowling, to go to the arcade.
If you want to get a vax, that's great. But when a governing body says you can't go to a restaurant unless you have a vax card, that's wrong.
And here's Susan Wall, who organized the event.
Why do I have to divulge my medical history, my private medical information, to eat in a restaurant? That's not about health. That's about control.
You know how you know this is all politics?
How?
How conveniently February 14th.
Oh.
What happens? What's on February 14th?
Oh,
what are people going to be doing?
It's one of the biggest restaurant days of the year.
Oh. So it's not about science, right? It's about politics and control.
Well, Susan, she did her own little investigation, which I love when people do this. Yeah. Resident journalist, street journalist. She went to restaurants in Highland Park. So, you know, we had the vaccine passport mandate in Chicago, Cook County. Highland Park's in Lake County, but the mayor there, you know, because she's so woke, decided, oh, I'm going to save people's lives,
she's
too.
Sleepwalking, really.
I'm going to save their lives, and I'm going to make a vaccine mandate in my city. So this Susan Wall, she went around restaurants between 4 and 6 and took pictures, and the place was empty. And she talked to the restaurant owners, too.
I talked to the owners, and I saw the empty dining rooms, and I live here. And prior to the mandate, these dining rooms were not empty. That's all the data I need.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636, type in DA. Then a quick comment. We've had 5 restaurants around our house that have been closed. And it's so creepy, too, because you look in there, like Machu Picchu's right by our house, and the tables are still set.
Wow.
It's like they literally just mailed the keys back to the landlord or the mortgage company. I mean, everything's still in place. The place settings, it's so creepy.
Probably got a little dust kicking up on it now.
And then, you know, the other place down the street, they're empty.
Yeah.
My foster son hasn't worked in a month because they don't need him. Because people that are even vaccinated don't feel right sharing their medical information with snot-nosed little 16-year-old kids that are working. But you said you couldn't go to the Blackhawks game.
No, I couldn't go to the Blackhawks game because I didn't have, you know, that thing.
And I'm not that thing?
I'm still not getting it. You know, I'm telling you.
And then I got COVID.
And then you got,
I got an N95 mask because they asked me to put one of those bad boys on. Then I got COVID.
I thought those things, do you know it, is supposed to keep you from getting it, though.
Oh.
Oh. But most of the people that are getting the Omi or whatever it's called.
It's called the Omicron.
Omicron.
I'm an Omicron girl, okay? So you just keep your Delta away from me. I want to know what variant we're going to have at Easter.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have something
midterms.
Midterm.
The midterm variant.
We're going to have a midterm variant.
Yeah.
And then we got to have a Valentine's Day variant. What are we going to call it?
I don't know.
No, we got to come up with something. And you guys can always call us or text us.
So I had a business reach out to me through LinkedIn. I won't say the business because they're deathly afraid. This is what he said to me. He says, my business is getting decimated downtown Chicago because of these crazy Nazi mandates. He said what happened was somebody from the mayor's office came to visit. Mm-hmm. Next couple of days later,
An inspector came in. Oh.
Yeah, and he said,
well, there's a lot of snitches out there. I know people that employees are snitching on their bosses.
Yeah.
as a form of retaliation or payback.
Yeah. Because
they don't like their schedule. So if little, you know, the bartender's mask is down, they'll call 311 and say, they're not following the rules. We need an inspector here.
This is what it creates. You're going to start. I guarantee you, if this continues, if people continue to allow this to happen and not take back and fight back, you're going to start seeing literal fist fights throughout the city of Chicago and Cook County. I'm telling you, it's coming.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line, 564-656, type in DA, then a quick comment. Well, fist fights. All right, now, I don't know if you've been following what's been going on in St. Charles.
Yes.
Okay, so in St. Charles, we had a group of ladies, about the 30 people, they're saying it was 40 people, stormed the library without masks on. Okay, and so they didn't know what to do. They called, they asked them to put a mask on. They said no, and some had religious exemptions, other medical exemptions. Because, for instance, if you have asthma, really, really should not be wearing a mask.
It's true.
And so they shut down the library.
Good
and
for
it's,
them.
No, indefinitely. Yeah. Your taxpayer dollars are going to a library that's not open. Instead, they're having curbside pickup. And here's one of those patrons in the curbside pickup line.
It's not very convenient, but if it has to be, it has to be.
But I'd love to hear from anybody who was there or who had a friend that was there. Because then on Saturday, they decided to have an emergency meeting.
Yeah.
And this woman, Edith, I can't remember her last name. She's on the library board. She read for 45, Edith Craig. She sat there for 45 minutes and read comments coming in a room by herself with a mask on. Here's some of the comments. God. Yeah, she's by herself in a room on a Zoom call.
If the library wants to be very strict in rule adherence, they should be much better trained to understand exemptions to medical needs of all visitors to this public place.
That was a pro, you know, pro, don't leave us alone. And here's a, we need to mask up forever.
I would like to express my full support of the library's mask policies. I'm shocked and saddened that threats have been directed at library staff on account of this policy.
What threats? I want to see a police report. Like
FOIA.
Who is threatening who?
Has it been FOIA?
No, we need to FOIA that.
Yeah.
Because if there was threats made.
Right.
No, they just weren't wearing the masks for different reasons.
Good for them. I'm sorry. I don't want to create
that's all right.
You know, mass hysteria, but you know what? Good for them.
Civil disobedience.
That's how it stops, though. That's how this stops. Just guess what? My taxpayer money is paying for this library.
Yeah.
I'm going in here.
It's a beautiful library. 100 employees, and they're paying employees who aren't working.
Yeah.
Because no one's inside the library. You can have one person or maybe two for a curbside pickup, or it's the window, and they're dressed like beekeepers, like they're spreading the vid. 312-642-5600. Let's go to Josh in Chesterton, Indiana. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, Amy and John. You played that clip of Pepper and Patty Pasaki earlier, and you talking about the whole gym thing, which isn't an issue for me because I live over here across the line, but... what hit me was the fact that she said we need more federal legislation to protect our liberties.
Yeah,
right.
Which is comical. Those two are exactly the opposite.
I know.
That's so true.
The exact opposite.
I was going to comment on that. But
well, you can, yeah.
I said I was going to comment on it, but then we had to go to a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what rights? What are you talking about, Jim Psaki?
We have no rights. We'll never have freedom until the mask mandates and vaccine mandates are done. Thanks, Josh, for the phone call.
But we're not dealing with that where I'm at. I go into a restaurant without a mask. Nothing. Go into grocery stores without a mask.
Really?
I mean, it's
you
just the people's.
Church?
It's the People's Republic of Chicago and Cook County. Not. I mean, probably other little, you know, pockets of cities.
Highland Park.
But I'm in Joliet. We got a free thinking mayor out there in Oudekerk. You know, he's a former cop attorney, so he's not going to push this stupidity on us.
Well, it's so arbitrary. Like, I was telling Mike on Saturday, my son, he's a swimmer, and they had a meet at Julian Percy High School. They wouldn't let me in.
Yeah. Wow.
And then that was a day where, you know, like you have bad weekends where you just cry.
Yeah.
I was like, but he's a senior.
Yeah.
And I said, what's the reason? They said, well, we're in the surge. I was like, but we're not.
Yeah.
And then I got up the CDC, you know, like, no, like show them.
Yeah.
No, we're on the other side. We said the peak was 30,000 cases. Yesterday we had 9,000. I'm like, we're on the way down. You need to let me in. They would not let me in.
Wow.
Junior, a JV wrestling meet. CPS, no parents because of the surge.
Wow.
So everything's arbitrary. And then also CPS stopped the test to stay program that everyone in Illinois has. And yeah. they decided to stop, but they didn't tell the parents. Yeah. And all of a sudden they're yanking kids to go to the care room. That's what they call it, the care room, before they kick you out the school. Can't be here, can't play sports for 5 days. But I tested negative. Tested said, no, we're no longer doing that. Everything is so random. Yeah. You'll go to a wrestling meet in one gym, and no, they can't wear masks,
yeah.
the wrestlers, because they can't. And then you walk across to the other gym, and they're wearing masks playing basketball.
Do you know there's been not one incident of COVID down at our church and school?
Not one?
Not one. Not one.
You're on the God
and
squad,
they've been doing it. They've been like this since this whole thing started. Pastor Bland said, I'm not shutting down. He's not going to. There are people that wear masks there.
If they want to.
But he's not forcing anybody. He's not saying, you got to wear the mask. You have to get the, you know it. And he's just saying, hey, if that's what you want, that's your prerogative, that's what you want to do, it's okay. But guess what? We're thriving down there. We really are. So much so that six other communities want him to come and bring schools and open up schools in their community. Romeoville already has 300 people signed and ready to go.
Wow.
Students. 300 students. Because people, I'm telling you, push back, fight against this nonsense, this stupidity. And I'm telling you, listen, I know there's a lot of people afraid. Fear is destroying this nation. Fear is destroying this nation. And we got to push back fear. You know, I'm sorry. Protect those who are most vulnerable, but continue to live our lives. I'm sorry. I'm done with it. I'm so done with this.
312-642-5600. Yeah, I wanted to read you a passage from the Bible because, when they yelled at me on Sunday for, you know, we don't like your mask. So first they tell you put on a mask, and then they tell you what kind of mask you should wear. It's from Corinthians. Why don't I have this here? I had it all ready to go for you. And I something that you should be in front of the Lord unveiled.
Yeah.
It's 2 Corinthians 3:18, I think. Well, I'll find it. But it's so true.
Yeah.
And now if you question anything, oh, you're a January 6th insurrectionist. Oh, you're like, God. The people in St. Charles, they storm the library.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they storm the Capitol.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what's coming next. And people in St. Charles, are like, they want those parents to shut up and just put a mask on.
Wear a mask, follow the rules, and it's the ones who don't who cause something like this.
I think it's really sad that people resort to threats of violence.
They are so misinformed.
Yeah.
Where's the violence?
Yeah.
They just walked in peacefully. And got it checked out.
Well, that's violent.
Because
they're disobeying the recommendation. You see, I didn't call it a law. They're disobeying the recommendation. That's why.
Let's go to Laura in Rolling Meadows, home of Jimmy
Hi.
Garoppolo. I bet you
Good
guys
morning.
Are happy in Rolling Meadows.
Oh, he is our hometown hero. There's no doubt about it. Okay, so I live next door to the Rolling Meadows Library, and I have just loved observing what has gone on there in the last 2 years. It wasn't until just past fall that they finally opened up to full regular hours. But during the entire year plus shutdown of the library, you know, I live next door. I see what goes on. Every morning, librarians arrive, of course, driving their Outbacks.
Right.
Park in the librarian parking lot. Enter in through the back door, and they're there all day while the library is closed. What are these people being paid to do? I really don't understand.
Hmm. Maybe they're checking out the Dewey Decimal System? I
Welcome
don't know.
To Illinois.
Right, prepping the curbside pickup?
I mean, it's just ridiculous that our tax dollars are going, I mean, not ours, but in St. Charles, that their tax dollars are going to a library that's still closed indefinitely.
Librarians are the worst of this whole deal, no doubt.
All right. Thanks, Laura, for the phone call.
All right. Take
Congratulations.
It easy.
Good luck on.
Yeah.
Did the Rams play the 49ers on Saturday or Sunday?
I don't know. I think
but
it's Saturday.
This weekend, yes. Yeah. It'll be very exciting. Oh, Craig, look who's on the line. Craig from Mount Greenwood. Good morning, Craig.
Uh-oh.
You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, and good morning, Jen. Good
morning.
Thanks for taking my call. So I had that same bacterial pneumonia from the mask. And the doctor told me it was actually called patch pneumonia. It was the same thing that half the people that were during the Spanish flu, they died of that. They died of it. Patch pneumonia. I mean, it doesn't fill up your lungs with water. It basically just coats your lung kind of thing. And it's definitely from the masks and I mean from the bacteria because it's like a little bacterial breeding farm with the moisture and the dirt and everything like that. And the doctor ended up telling me that any of those masks, including his surgical mask, the N95s, they don't stop virus anyways. The only thing that stops a virus is an organic vapor respirator. So
yeah,
it's okay. It's all lied to these people.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Craig.
But they know this.
The worst people that don't wear masks are doctors because they know it's a bunch of bunk.
Yeah.
When they're outside or indoors.
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing. All right, Gina in Westmont, you're on Chicago's.
Hey there, Amy and John.
Hi.
You know, so I don't know if any of you guys watched Ron Johnson's panel yesterday.
No.
And he had a panel of all the doctors. Like, it was 5-hour panel. I mean, I knew some of what was going on, but oh my God, it's just alarming how they're just lying to us. But I live in DuPage and I don't wear a mask anywhere, but I hear the YMCA now is requiring it. So it's starting to creep in at all these little places, but I don't wear a mask anywhere either. So
okay, thanks for the phone call. But we still have a mask mandate under Governor Pritzker. We're one of five states now that have an indoor mask mandate.
You mean
and no one else around us has it?
But guess what? The rest of
we
the
all
state...
went on the same rise and fall. Iowa did, Wisconsin,
yeah.
We did, and the difference was not. I mean, we wore masks and they didn't. We had the same rise and fall. Oh. All right, let's go to Marvin in Burlington, Wisconsin. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Marvin.
Yeah, good morning. I just was wondering if anybody's more information about any recent polling, because it wasn't too long ago that, you know, the public was all for all this mask mandates, and, you know, you wouldn't think so. I mean, we're all like-minded, but there's a lot of folks out there who are scared to death. I just wondered if there's any recent polling on the public's thoughts. And are these politicians doing what the public wants?
There was some polling out on Biden.
Yeah.
But in regards to COVID, that not 63% in favor, I think. I don't want to go and say that for sure, but I know that only 5% of those polled say he's doing a better job than they expected.
Yeah.
5%. Yeah. That came out on NBC News with Chuck Todd.
See, I think the polling is skewed.
You think because
people don't want to tell the truth. I'm telling you the fear.
The fact that you have a friend that owns a restaurant and will not come on this program because he's fearful of inspectors being sent.
Yes, and I'm telling you. But I don't think those who are running for governor should bank on this. I don't.
I think
the whole hysteria with COVID and getting the jab and all that, the mandates. I think it'll be a mistake if they focus just on that. The biggest issue, what's bringing out all these people? Why are these people coming out en masse to come and protest and say, no, we've had enough? What was the one impetus that pushed parents? I just gave you the clue.
Critical race theory.
Their kids.
Yeah, their kids.
Their kids. Everybody. Look, St. Charles. These people went in there with their kids as well. You know, critical race theory, the sex education bill. Arendelle Marr called into our show. He's the lieutenant governor candidate with Gary Rabaugh. He called in my show Saturday. He said the school called him and had to get permission to give his daughter two Tylenol. But think about this. He doesn't have to be notified if his daughter wants to go out and get an abortion.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these are the issues. These kitchen table issues. These things that really affect people and their normal day-to-day lives. People are flustered and frustrated. They're scared. And guess what? You keep pushing this mama tiger in this corner. She's going to come out ferociously. And the father. I'm telling you, we're painting that right now.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning Answer.
On AM 560, The Answer.
Getting involved politically, we always encourage our listeners, you know, you want to make a change, run for office.
Yeah.
Why not? Good morning, Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony in
Hello.
For Dan Proft. Thanks for making it through the cold weather to get here today.
And it was cold.
I
felt
it
as soon
cold.
As I walked out this morning.
Oh, the hobo ride. I got to warm up the hobo ride. So, all right, thanks for coming in. And we have a big, big show, as always. Whenever you're here, there's lots of news. We might go to war. Joe Biden wants a war. You know, because he needs that right now to reset his presidency, right?
Almost every Democrat president does it, right?
And then we'll talk about even journalists have a patron saint. Did you know that? Oh, boy.
No.
Lord help us. But now we welcome back to the program Jed Davis. He's board president of Parkview Academy in Yorkville and candidate for state representative of the 75th Illinois District. Good morning, Jed. How are you?
Good morning. Great. Hey,
good morning, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so Parkview Academy, I mean, we had you on before because you were defying the mask mandates, correct?
Yeah, we are. We're the land of the free. Imagine that we want to give parents the choice to actually decide how to raise up their children. Yeah.
Well, how is COVID? Have you had an influx of cases, or have you?
No, in fact, I heard John say earlier, because we're good friends with Pastor Randy over at the church, that he in church and school that he had mentioned, and having zero incidents with COVID, we've had very minimal, nothing of anything to write home about. So
there you go.
We are letting parents really be parents and make those medical decisions for their kid. You know, consult with your doctor. And when you guys feel that it's best to either A, return to school or just kind of continue with life, then that is the decision that rests with them, as we've done for, man, decades.
Yeah. And Jed, I was telling Amy down there where we live, because I don't live too far from Jed. Jed actually is running for the seat that I once occupied.
Oh, you mean
the 75th.
The seat?
The seat. Yeah,
wow.
DC.
Well, who's the incumbent? Who's got the seat right now?
I'll let you say it, Jed.
Is it a Republican or a Democrat?
It's a Republican.
It is a Republican out of Morris.
Okay. And why do you want to kick him? What is he doing wrong?
You know, he, as we all kind of had angst through this whole process, and especially living in Illinois, you kind of turn to, man, who's my elected official and how can they help me combat what the governor is doing and others are doing? So I went and started having a dialogue with this individual and looking at the track record, and it is like the complete opposite from my gut and core beliefs as an individual. So extremely frustrated with that, and one of the ways to fix that is obviously throw your hat in the ring and head down to Springfield and more or less oust him. So that,
right, but it's hard to
have a seat for freedom.
Yeah, it's hard to unseat an incumbent, though. Are you? What are you hearing from constituents?
It is, but it's a unique year. The maps got redrawn. We've got a lot of momentum. The Parkview case helped a lot from a name recognition standpoint. Yeah. And people are they're frustrated, right? These are the communities of Sandwich, Yorkville. They're small home, small town communities that have a lot of pride, but they are fed up with Cook County and them bleeding into their territory. So they're
and Jed, I don't mean to cut you off, Jed, but the district has become a lot redder too. It's added a ton more Republicans and conservative
really?
Republicans to that district. And I think when the incumbent now, when you vote for things like the ERA, the tax, you basically the gas tax, I think people are fed up and want somebody to be a leader. And I think that's one of the reasons why Jed Davis is running as well.
Well, is your state rep now, is he challenged Pritzker at all? I mean, why are all these Republican state reps and state senators letting Pritzker walk all over them?
Why aren't they fighting back?
These emergency orders, he's on... We've been doing this for, 24 months now?
Yeah.
2 years straight of emergency orders?
Yeah. They're cowards.
Is that it?
They're cowards. And people, I mean, Pritzker's been down to that area a few times and said glowingly things about the current guy that's there right now. So I think...
Who's a Republican?
He's a Republican.
And he's making glowing comments about...
Pritzker did, yeah.
Why?
Well, they work well. They work well together. You know, which I mean, listen, you know, I've been down there. You tend to have to work with a Democrat governor. But when you start voting for things that your constituents don't want and you're not challenged by it, I think, Jed, would you say that's one of the motivating factors as to why you ran?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And where I've been really frustrated, okay, Springfield's a train wreck and it's going to take a while to reclaim that, but there's been nothing locally. Like, there's all these aggravated parents, and just there's just a lot of frustration. And the representative, the elected officials, are just absent. Like, where are they shoulder to shoulder with the mom and dad at the school board meeting or at the front door of the hospital? Or you can really impact change locally if you'll show up and truly represent the people that you've been elected to represent.
Now, is there anybody now that you're backing for governor of Illinois, both you and John Anthony? I'll start with you first, Jeb.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I'm really good friends with John Darren. I'm good friends with John too, but good friends with Darren Bailey. He's been a great asset to me. So I really appreciate his support, just kind of coaching me through the process, and just kind of giving me advice off of the radar. So great friend, and I think he'd make a great governor.
And what about you, John Anthony?
I'll never tell.
Oh, are you one of those?
Yeah.
Are you going to vote for Mancow?
Oh.
As an independent?
No, I don't vote for independents.
No. Okay, you don't vote. All right, so no. You're going to vote for a Republican, yeah. But you're not going to.
If we had everybody as independent, that personally, I wish every office has to run as an independent. Right. No Republican, no Democrat, because I think the conservative message would win out should that happen. That's just my belief. You know, because I think so many people get blind by the D, the R, you know. But if everybody had to run as independents and they actually had to work candidates, you know, I think we see a different Illinois. I think we see a different America.
Well, now, Jed, for those of us who don't know you, tell us about yourself. Family, what do you like to do for fun?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've got four kids, ages 18 all the way down. She just turned 5 yesterday, so I kind of got the whole gamut. Been married 21 years with my high school sweetheart and just love life, right? Love to get outdoors, do a lot of trap shooting. Love my local community. I live in New Earth. I've lived there essentially my entire life and just want to see it, you know, be normal again.
I know, but I mean, is that ever going to happen?
I think so.
I mean, they just came out with the dirtiest cities in America, and of course, Chicago's up there in the top 10, and the taxes are just insane. And we're letting homeless people pop up, you know, encampments popping up everywhere in the city.
Yeah.
And I know you're not in the city, but whatever happens in Chicago and Cook County, as you mentioned,
else.
Affects everybody in the whole state.
Mm-hmm. So, Jed, I got a question for you. Will you be voting for the rules of the House, of Chris Welch's rules? And who will you be voting for Speaker, should you get elected?
Yeah, that's a great question, but... Yeah, it's insane down there. I can tell you one thing I won't be voting for is things like doubling gas tax and voting to kick Republican reps off the floor for not wearing a mask, which the current incumbent has done.
That was the dumbest thing ever.
Really?
Yeah.
What else has he done?
Oh, I'll let Jed talk that.
Jed?
Oh, took $20,000 from Adam Kingsinger, so that probably tells you everything you need to know about where he sits politically. Gave free health care to inmates, gave voting rights to non-citizens, he removed the federal protection for women, that equal rights thing that John had mentioned, really has restricted Second Amendment rights, and the American Conservative Union rated him at 52.8% for a conservative scale,
he's a Republican?
Is a big F in my book.
Yeah, and he's a Republican?
He is a Republican.
Okay, well, for more information, where can we go to help out for your campaign?
Yeah, you can go to Jed for Freedom. That's JEDFOR freedom.com. And we're all there. We're on Facebook, Instagram, the whole deal. But look us up. Check us out. We have an office in Yorkville. Would love to meet anyone at any time. We're an open door, open book.
All right. JedForFreedom.com. That's F-O-R, not the number four. JedForFreedom.com. Jed Davis, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, Jed.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
You were just talking to me about Charlemagne who? We get you in the mic on.
Charlemagne the God.
All right, this clip, here it is. I don't know what this is.
I hope it's the right one.
Well, let's get it.
Because I did three.
Okay, well, we'll just try it out. Okay. And if not, we'll regroup.
Right. I'm hearing it. I'm listening to people be like, man, where's Trump? They feel like they would rather get it wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? At least we know what that is.
These
is gassing us up, lying to us, promising us didn't deliver.
Nah,
like, I cannot wait to see, and I'm already watching it. I'm watching Democrats start the campaign. They're already like,
Hillary,
you got to go out there and vote. Like, democracy depends on it. I'm like, when y'all gonna start governing like democracy depends on it? No, for real. Like, stop telling me that the death of democracy is upon us, but you're not governing like it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're like Joe Biden gave that speech this week, he's calling out all the Republicans. Like, I'm tired of being quiet. You're tired of being quiet, but you're still being quiet about all the Democrats that are blocking your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You're being quiet about the mansions and the cinemas, you know, and the Kellys who don't want to get rid of the filibuster so you can pass voting rights. Why are you not calling them out?
Yeah.
All that is performative until everybody gets it across the board.
Well, I'm telling you, Black America's waking up.
Well, there's a new poll out that says Biden's approval rating from blacks drops 30 points. It was 90%. It is now 60%. Yeah. Do you think it's going to drop even lower?
Yes.
But why?
Well, because I, so many people didn't know. That was another one with Charlamagne Tha God and T.I. T.I. didn't even know. He's a rapper. He didn't even know that Joe Biden introduced the crime bill. He had no clue. It's like, wait, you're out here telling us who to vote for, and you have no clue that this guy introduced the crime bill? I mean, think about that. He influences millions of people. But I think people are starting to really find out that Biden just isn't all there.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Good morning, Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony, the one and only, in for Dan Proft.
Three-hour show now.
Yes, he's a three-hour show, Black and Right, which airs Saturday from
12 to 3.
I was going to get it right. 12 to 3 right here, AM 560. And hopefully you can move the show to 4 to 7 someday.
I would love that.
Yeah, we'll see. But you're in the WIND family. We know that. So
that's right.
I'm so glad you're here. Well, Biden has had a disastrous few weeks from hell, you might want to say. Inflation at a 40-year high. That disastrous and deadly withdrawal from Afghanistan, which was months ago, but still on people's minds. And then the voter rights bill going down. And what has he done right?
Unified the American people against him.
There you go. But, what you know, maybe he needs a war to distract people to reset after his, you know, big one-year anniversary in office. With more on that, let's welcome back to the program Scott McKay. He is publisher of Hayride and contributor to the American Spectator. Good morning, Mr. McKay. How are you?
Ms. Jacobson, how are you?
I'm good. Or do you want to do the first name thing or the last name thing?
Let's do the first name thing.
Okay. All right. So, Scott, you wrote an article about Biden needs a war. Don't give him one. Why does Biden need a war right now?
Well, I mean, you know, I, at this point, it's a cliche, the whole wag the dog thing. I mean, we've had so many kind of military adventures that were suspiciously tied to flagging presidential approval ratings and so forth. You know, the whole Libya adventure, you had Clinton in Kosovo. And Joe Biden is the kind of guy that you can't put that behind, you know, put that past. And then, you know, lo and behold, we have this Ukraine thing that comes up, which, you know, is, I mean, I, you know, I don't want to disparage the Ukrainians, but their problems really are not our problems.
Right.
I have yet to talk to not political people, but like ordinary folks. I've yet to talk to one who cares about Ukraine at all or has any interest in the United States getting involved in some sort of conflict over Ukraine.
Yeah, but don't you think because Putin, his end game is to put, you know, one of his allies in power so that they could be more pro-Russia. Right, so if
there's
he takes
no
an inch, we'll give, you know, I mean, if we give him an inch, he'll take a foot and he'll try to conquer the world, don't you think? Or do you just think he'd stop?
Yeah, no, I mean, I get that. You know, to which the response is, are we really in a position where we want to get involved in another kind of Vietnam type situation? I mean, because that was the exact rationale for continuing to up the ante in Vietnam. And, you know, that was the Cold War. And, you know, we're not supposed to be in a Cold War with the Russians at this point. Right. So, you know, the other question is, can we do anything in Ukraine? I mean, if Putin really wants the place, he's going to get the place.
Oh, yeah, true. I mean, it's 125,000
war on our part.
Yeah, it's 125,000 troops. And he claims that they're doing military exercises right now and that this is all misinformation. But yesterday they said, you know, they announced the State Department that 8,500 U.S. troops have been placed in on heightened alert that they can be deployed within the next 5 days to the region, not to Ukraine. Do you really think they're going to do that and join the NATO allies?
You know, at this point, I just don't know because, I mean, we're talking about the Biden administration. Yeah. And it's hard to predict or forecast, you know, what they're doing because, I don't sense that these are very strategic thinkers running the country.
I definitely agree. Hey, Scott, how you doing? You know,
hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. I look at this. I think Biden learned one thing from Barack Obama, how to be petty. You think a lot of this has to do with blowback from how Biden felt that the president over there treated him and his son during this last election? You think a lot of that has a lot to do with how Biden is interacting with them? Because Pompeo said that he basically gave him a green light to go and do whatever they want to do. I don't think they're going to do it. But is this the petty Biden? And I think that's a dangerous place to be if the president of the United States is going to be this petty about something that his son did.
Well, I have a theory which I'm almost frightened to voice it. But you know, my theory is that everybody over there involved in this knows what the end game is, which is Putin putting a pro-Russian government in place in Ukraine. And one of the first things that, you know, said pro-Russian government in Ukraine would do is dish all the Hunter Biden dirt, you know, involving whether it's Burisma or even stuff that we didn't even know about. You know, there are people who tell you that one of the things that has gone on with respect to Ukraine for years is, you know, we give these guys foreign aid and it washes through contractors who, you know, have business addresses in Washington, D.C. and happen to be connected to the establishment here.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's a big money laundering operation.
Yeah.
And if you got a pro-Russian government in Ukraine, like all of that comes out, right? And of course, the Russians are, you know, fairly interesting in terms of, you know, not only will they murder people, but they'll also dish information out that you know, makes people look bad. And I wonder if they're not scared to death that might happen. And this is, you know, has the effect of fueling some of this, which certainly, I think, tie into the pettiness part, which is, you know, like nobody cares about Joe and Hunter Biden's problems.
Right.
But if we end up at some sort of military conflicts that they can protect, you know, some kind of scam that the powers that be in this country have been running. I mean, I don't think that's worth a drop of blood of anybody in our military.
Yeah. So considering the disastrous and deadly withdrawal from Afghanistan, which I've always said that was President Biden's Jimmy Carter moment.
No question.
If you worked right now in the embassy in Ukraine, wouldn't you be already have your family on a commercial flight out of there? Because you can't trust the government to come in and get you when things get bad.
Yeah, I think at this point, you know, you've got all the information you need. Mm-hmm. And, you know, any place where you know, where you could be in harm's way, I think you need to assume that you are in harm's way after Afghanistan. So, there should be no Americans left in Kiev by, you know, noon today, I would say.
Hey, Scott, you know, I love the article, The Most Fun Senate Race of 2022. If the Senate had more John Kennedys, it would be such a lively place. What do you think is going
to
happen?
We need to change out. I mean, you know, the other senator from Louisiana is Bill Cassidy, which, you know, he's originally from Chicago. So the big joke around here is, you know, can we send this guy back to Illinois? And, you know, Cassidy is the boring guy and Kennedy is the fun guy. Yeah. And it just so happens that Kennedy is also the guy that stands by principle. So, you know, he's not going to lose re-election this fall, but there are two Democrats running against him in a jungle primary, and those two Democrats are, at least the way the interaction between them is going to play out, could very well changed the Democrat Party in Louisiana permanently.
Yeah.
And really sort of along racial lines, but also along ideological lines. The white guy who's running is, they found this guy. He's an airline pilot and has never run for anything before and is just boring. And, you know, he spouts kind of boilerplate DNC narratives and complains about, you know, Kennedy voting on January 6th of last year to not certify, I think it was the Arizona electoral college vote and so forth. You know, they're making a big deal about that when really almost nobody in Louisiana cares. And, you know, and then along comes this guy, Gary Chambers, who's sort of a Stacey Abrams wannabe.
Oh, boy.
And the first ad that he pops out is, you know, him smoking a blunt complaining about not only that marijuana ought to be legal, but that prosecutions and arrests with respect to marijuana possession are, you know, disproportionately affect black people, and the whole thing is a racist exercise. You know, and then he's sitting there smoking this obnoxious blunt in the ad. It has the effect of completely polarizing at least the Democrat electorate in the state. You know, black people love it. White people hate it. The governor here, John Bel Edwards, who's a Democrat, who claims to be a centrist and is not. Yeah, he comes out. You shouldn't be doing that in an ad. It's inappropriate. And the whole thing is that 60% of the registered Democrats in Louisiana are black, 36% are white, and now they are basically polarized between those two Democrats. Kennedy's going to walk away with the race, but if black Democrats get so irritated that they'll never vote for a white Democrat in Louisiana again, this state is going to be majority Republican, and it'll have black Democrats. And there won't be any more white Democrats elected because where are they going to find the votes? And the really fun thing is, if you go, and you could do this, you go to civicus.com, which is CIVIQS.com. Mm-hmm. It's this polling firm that has this big universe of folks that have opted in to get online surveys from this, like 150,000 people.
Wow.
And they every week they're polling Joe Biden's approval rating. And in Louisiana, you get very granular detail demographics and so forth as to what his approval is. Joe Biden's approval rating among white Louisianians is 11%.
Wow!
And that is this guy Luke Nixon, who's the white guy in the Senate race. That's his base, because that's like all he talks about is you know, national Democrat things. So he's got 11% of the white vote, which is like 7% of the overall vote in the state, and they think that they're going to get this guy into the runoff with that, and it's like, no, guys.
Real quick, can we move over to Georgia?
I don't know where the money's going to go to continue you to qualifying, much less the election, but, you know, you're dead. So it's fun. It's going to be a great race, especially for Republicans, and you know, the damage that's going to be done to the state Democrat Party is, you know, a long time coming. So
good. And then real quick, Georgia Senator Warlock, is he do you think he's guaranteed to win again?
Not a real good year for Democrats.
No.
So, I think the question there is, you know, who's going to be the Republican nominee? And, I know Herschel Walker was. It's Trump's supported candidate,
right,
and the guy with all the name recognition. You know, we'll see if that holds up. I mean, I'm of the opinion that after Georgia passed the election integrity bill, mm-hmm, that got everybody so upset over there last year.
Oh, my God. They're
worried about it.
I mean, Senator Warlock on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Senator Warlock was in a church saying, I'm not free because of this election integrity vote, that bill that was passed. I'm not a free man. I'm a black man. I'm like, what is he talking? I mean, he's really grasping there.
You're a U.S. senator.
I know, he's not free. Like, he still doesn't have any freedoms. You're the U.S. senator.
From Georgia.
It's like the same thing you get, like, LeBron James saying those kinds of things, right? And it's like, like, you know, like, it just kind of rings hollow when you say it, you know? I think the guy going in, just like the other one over there whose name escapes me for the moment, those were kind of fluky situations.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, if you want to blame Donald Trump for that, I think there's some validity in that. And it was just sort of this weird deal that both of them came up at the same time,
right,
at the exact wrong time for the GOP. Now you've passed this electoral integrity thing. And if you don't have a Republican primary that is so knocked down, drag out that, you know, that you split into factions, I just don't see Warnock getting reelected.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think he's one of the, I don't think this is a guy that can withstand scrutiny as an incumbent,
right,
especially this year. I mean, when Joe Biden's approval rating, depending on what poll you're looking at, is 33, and at the best, I mean, I don't know who Fox News is polling, but they've got him at 47, and their poll has always been far and away the best that Biden has shown up in. And he's below 50 in the Fox poll.
Yeah.
And the real clear average of the polls, he's at 40. I mean, a president who's at 40 going into his first midterm, generally speaking, gets crushed his party.
Hey,
so,
hey, Scott, you said something earlier, and I am a black man. I'm blackish, I should say. But I think what's happening across America is black people are waking up. They're tired of these clown shows. They're tired of these Democrats coming in. I ain't no ways tired, and you got hot sauce in your purse. I think they're getting sick and tired of these emotional tugs at their heart, and they're ready for somebody to start doing something. All of that foolishness, in my opinion, is going to be called to the carpet, and I think the 2022 and the 2024 elections are going to bring that out in such a way, because Trump started. He started something. And we played a clip on Charlamagne Tha God earlier. Everybody's asking, where's Trump? Because at least we knew where he stood. But these politicians with these clown shows to black people, enough is enough. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, I think black people are people, right? And I mean, you know, yeah, okay, you did all this and you got the vote out and whatever, and it's a year later, and, you know, just like everybody else, I think the black community is saying, yeah, this guy's not very good. Like, I mean, you know, yeah, okay, we put him in office, but what are we getting out of it? And, they don't have any deliverables. They've not improved the economy. Now, you've had this effective, massive tax increase that happens to be pretty regressive, which is, 7% inflation. Everybody gets 7% tax increase at this point. Nobody voted for that. It just happened. I mean, and you see some of the things that have really shot up in terms of, like, used cars are up 30%.
The average price of a used car is $28,000 right now.
Wow.
NBC just
right.
did it.
Okay, so if you're, if you're working class or below and your car completely breaks down, I mean, like, what does that do for you? You can't afford anything. And I mean, you're buying a junker at the bottom of the used car spectrum, and it's still more than you can afford. Do you think those people are happy with the guy in office now? They don't care if he's a Democrat.
Or try going to the grocery store.
That's the problem.
I mean, John and I were talking about this during the break. Shelves are empty. At grocery stores. Yep. I don't know what's going on with canned cat food, but I went to three stores yesterday. And I, where is the canned cat food? And she said, it's a shipping supply.
They're hoarding
issue.
It.
Right. Well, I mean, my joke is that, this better not, and there are some indications that it might be, this better not affect the supply of Maker's Mark around the country, or else, the heads of our ruling elite will be on pikes from Bangor to La Jolla.
Before Christmas, they scared us, though, and they said there might not be enough wine for Thanksgiving. And there might not be enough booze. And then people went out and bought all this thinking, oh, my God, I'm not going to have my wine. I have to have my wine. And then we scared children and said, you're not going to get your toys for Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, we just have been, they've been ruling with fear, because what they fear, they can control you. And that's the bottom line. All right, Scott. Okay, we have to leave it here for today. But thank you so much for joining us. He is publisher at The Hayride and contributor to The American Spectator. Thank you, and we'll have you back soon.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks, John. Right. Y'all have a great day.
You too.
You too. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. If that's moving up, then
I'm moving out. You know what that song means? Our good friend Ted Dabrowski's here from Wire Points. How are you, Mr. Dabrowski?
I'm doing great, Amy. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning. I just combined your first and last name. Did you see that?
No, how did you do it?
I called you Dabrowski.
I like that.
He's got a
shorter,
theme song.
Faster.
All right, so Governor Pritzker. Oh, yeah, he's got a theme song. You walk through the door, we'll play your theme song.
Please do.
We got to come up with a theme song, though,
yeah,
in order to
play
one
for
you.
We'll figure it out.
Governor Pritzker tweeted out the other week, a few days ago, I think, about we are going to end voter suppression in Illinois. And then I tweeted back, can you give me an example of voter suppression in Illinois, please? And he did not respond. So what's the real voter suppression look like in Illinois?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen Biden and we've seen the legislature try to, the federal Congress try to federalize our elections in so doing, trying to put more and more controls and limit what states can do. But I think study after study proves that there is no voter suppression. And if you look across ethnicities, races, states, and all that, you'll find that participation has been increasing over time. And so at Wire Points, we were looking at something. We said, wait a minute, here's the real voter suppression. The stuff they're talking about is not true. The real one is you look at local elections, and this really matters, mm-hmm. because when we're talking about our school districts and all the things that we've talked about on your show, whether it's CRT or the mask mandates or so many things, school elections, local elections, and even city elections matter. And you know, what you look at is you see that in Illinois and in many places in the country, you have these off-cycle elections. So elections aren't held when the general elections are held in November. Instead, they're held in April throughout the state. In Chicago, they're held in February and on off years. And what happens is that very few people turn out to vote. I'm looking here right now at the last election for the mayor of Calumet City, which is a city that struggles in so many ways. For the mayor, there were an 11% turnout. When I look at Homewood Flossmoor's elections for the school board, a 19% turnout.
Wow.
Even in Glenview or a place like that, it's a 16% turnout for president of the village.
Wow.
And you know who comes out and votes? Then it's very few normal people that vote, ordinary people that vote, and it's the people that vote are the ones who have something to gain from voting, and that's the union members, the government employees. They come out in full force because it's their pensions or their salaries or benefits or something that they benefit from, and it's a really failed way. So basically, voting in April of an off year or in Chicago in February of off years, nobody comes out and votes.
Well,
and that's
weather,
real voter depression.
Right, but does weather play a part in that? Because February, it's not nice here.
Well, certainly, you know, you can imagine if you're a low-income person, you've got to take a bus or the CTA, or you got to do something. It's cold. It certainly plays a factor. But I think the bigger factor is that nobody's paying attention in April or February. You know, so people are paying more attention for the congressional races or presidential races. They'll come out and vote.
You know, I had Charles Thomas on the show with me this Saturday, and we actually dealt with this and discussed this topic Saturday. And one of the things we said was, tell me one person that you've ever met that's ever had their vote suppressed. Do you know anybody, Ted?
No, I don't know anybody.
Amy, do you know anybody?
I don't know anybody.
And I'm from the hood.
But you're black.
And I'm from the hood.
They're telling us the Democrats are shoving down our throats that if you're black, we are suppressing your right to vote.
How?
Especially
here in Illinois, there's so many ways to vote. How is the vote being suppressed, Ted?
Yeah, I mean, we've made it easier and easier to vote, right? And I mean, that's been one of the problems. Make it so easy to vote now. There's a lot of people who don't trust the process.
But, right.
You know, this early voting, these multiple locations for voting, we've made it far easier. we've made it too easy, I think, for some people say. But I think if you look at all the studies, which I was mentioning earlier, and Wall Street Journal has done a pretty good job of covering all this, you look across the board, and there has been voter suppression. There has been more and more voting by minorities than ever.
Right.
So.
And Ted, when you look at what happened in D.C., you know, in my opinion, they tried to conflate two issues: the John Lewis voter suppression bill, and then the filibuster. The bigger issue was the filibuster, though, because if you take away that filibuster, I mean, Villan called into my show and we got into it because he's like, well, that the filibuster means nothing. It means everything. And they know it. And that's why. And this is my wake up call to Black America. Stop letting them use these type of issues to get you emotionally charged. And then once they've gotten you emotionally charged, got you out there to vote for them, then when it comes, when the rubber meets the road, when it's time for them to actually do stuff, crickets. Because look at what's happened with this governor, with the marijuana dispensary and all that.
Oh, my God.
There's still not one Black person that owns.
I know. And State Senator Kimberly Lightfoot.
Yeah.
She was up there saying, well, we're going to try. Like, try.
There's no trying.
Make it happen. It's not happening. I mean, how is that possible?
Yeah.
That not one minority owns a dispensary.
Yeah, that was a disaster. And just coming back to this elections, it's the minorities who lose, because if you look at these school districts, the power, I mean, let's just take Chicago school district, right? Mm-hmm. The power that the unions gain from the election process, I guess Chicago is always different, but you look at a lot of these school districts, the power that's gained by the unions, they're the ones that clamp down and, you know, close schools on minorities.
Right.
So it's a lose-lose for everybody except for the union power.
Are you surprised that Governor Pritzker yesterday vetoed the proposal by CTU to pay COVID sick leave to all school employees?
Well, you know, it was an interesting thing. That's probably the first thing that's a little confusing, because you would think that he'd be happy to give sick leave to a whole bunch of his supporters. But, you know, I think what's behind it is a lot of school districts are struggling. Most people don't know this, but teachers in Illinois, most of them get about 15 days, up from 12 to 15 days of sick leave on top of their, you know, holidays, which, of course, they get in, of course, of the summer time off.
It's 16 weeks a year they don't work with the summer off and the holidays.
Right. So you're talking about they get 12 to 15 days, and they can accumulate those days throughout their entire career if they don't use them. So most of them accumulate up to 2 years worth of sick leave, and they turn that in as two additional years of service for their pensions. So it's really valuable. So a lot of teachers didn't want to lose that benefit, and this is why they're fighting for more. But this would be really expensive for school districts if they had to give even more days off. I think the school districts were losing too much power. So, but Pritzker says he wants to agree to it if the teachers are vaccinated. So, you know, don't be surprised if there's a new thing that comes his way that most teachers will get their way.
So they wanted, if they had COVID-19, they did not want that to count as a sick day.
Right.
But,
right.
Okay.
Well, and so they could maintain their sick days and use those to get more pensions.
Well, we had some good news for the Unmask Our Children crowd out there. Yesterday, a New York judge struck down the governor's mask mandates for schools, and we have a pending, you know, a judge is going to decide this Friday whether or not that's going to happen in the state of Illinois. Are you hearing any rumblings which way that might go?
Well, I don't know which way that goes, but I think the New York vote's a big one. Mm-hmm. The federal judge there, I mean, sorry, the state Supreme Court judge said that the health department didn't have the legal authority to do this mandate, which is big news. And he said that the judge said that the mask mandate should have been approved by the state legislature. Well, it's about time we hear something like that. We've been saying that forever. Yeah. Why does the governor, through, you know, health departments or ISB or something, get to implement all these things? And, you know, the sad part is that we don't have a court that would support, you know, the ordinary people like they did in New York. That shows us that New York still has some sanity relative to Illinois.
And that's shocking.
Did you see the judge, too, in Sangamon County? I mean, she wasn't even wearing her mask properly. She had it underneath her nose, and it was barely covering her mouth. And then, you know, they went for a break, and she came back with a different mask on for some reason.
Oh, God.
Still a cloth mask, which is just a face decoration, by the way. And she was still wearing it improperly.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, that takes the number of states that have a statewide mask mandate from 11 to 10. So we continue to be a big outlier. And I was in Georgia last weekend, mm-hmm. amazing. You know, you go there, you're walking around, nobody's wearing masks. Of course, some people are who want to protect themselves, but for the most part, it is business as usual. People are normal. Then, of course, right when I flew back to Illinois, you know, you just feel that difference. You feel like, oh my gosh, I got to get my mask on. It's like you live in two different worlds right now.
And there's no metrics in place to lift the mask mandates in schools, and there's no metrics in place to lift the vaccine passports. You know, because Mayor Lightfoot and Dr. Awarde said, oh, when we're on the other side of this Omicron, we'll drop the vaccine passports. Well, guess what, Ted? We're well on the decline from the peak of 30,000. Yesterday we had just barely 9,000, and it's dropping every day. So what they told us is, you know, we should be dropping the vaccine mandates, but they're going to keep this going.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to face a little more pressure, but luckily the numbers are moving the right way, and at some point they're, yeah, I have to look at the more recent numbers, but we were seeing before is that it didn't make any difference, these masks, when you compare to our neighboring states. I have to check the latest weekly numbers to see if that's still the case, but you know, our numbers, our case numbers and hospitalization numbers, I think, were worse than our neighboring states who don't have mask mandates. So what's the purpose of the masks anymore?
I'm done with them.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't live in Cook County, so
no.
You've got it easy.
Yeah.
You can breathe. All right, we're going to have to leave it there for today. Ted Dabrowski, he is the president at Wire Points, Inc. And, Ted, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Right.
Thanks, you too. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today.
All right. You know Scott Godley, Dr. Scott Godley.
Yes.
Well, he was on Face the Nation over the weekend. And he said 2 weeks we'll be able to make a decision. It's just 2 weeks. And I fell off my chair like, did he really just say? It was, the context was, he was being asked about when can we unmask our kids at school.
Yeah.
And he literally said, we're gonna have to wait 2 weeks. It's just 2 weeks.
Because
remember, it was just 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then it was 2 months.
Yeah.
And now it's 2 years.
How many days? 600? I mean, how many days has it been?
695 or
wow.
Maybe more. Yeah.
Well, it hasn't been that for me, though.
Well, here in Chicago, we've been masked 20 out of the last 24 months.
Yeah.
At gyms and restaurants, grocery stores. Yeah, Scott Godley.
Look, I think it is too soon to do that because a lot of schools have built their preparations around the use of masks. And whatever we want to say about the benefit that masks are providing, it's providing some benefit. And a lot of schools that couldn't implement social distancing, couldn't implement testing, are relying on masks as their only tool. So to withdraw it right at the peak of the epidemic, I think it's imprudent. We should wait. I think within 2 weeks we'll be able to make that decision. This whole COVID epidemic, I think, has been colored by the fact that policymakers have not prescribed clear endpoints to when they are going to withdraw these measures. I think parents are willing to tolerate masks in schools, recognizing it's very disruptive to children. If there is an end date to it, if it's clearly prescribed when we're going to use these masks and when we're going to withdraw them so they don't disrupt 2 years of a child's socialization and school activities. So I think policymakers stepping in and saying, look, we're going to put an end point on this when prevalence declines to a certain level, and in sticking to it is very prudent. But to do it in a setting of the peak of this epidemic, I think puts a difficulty on schools that have based their mitigation around the use of masks.
It's just 2 weeks.
It's not policymakers, it's parents.
Right.
We're done with it.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Your show keeps me alive during the week. There's nobody I'd rather listen to between 5 and 9 in the morning than you guys.
On AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning. Welcome back to Chicago's Morning Answer. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony and for Dan Proft. Are you having fun yet?
I am. That.
Are we learning
the last
a lot?
Hour. Yeah, it's the last hour already.
Where'd the time go?
No idea.
So we talk about it a lot on this show, critical race theory.
Mm-hmm.
And the Daily Herald wrote an article over the weekend talking about that it's really not that bad. And suburban schools that are using it, it's not that bad. And parents shouldn't be upset about critical race theory. And with more on that, let's welcome back to the program Daniel Sir. He's managing attorney for Liberty Justice Center. Truth be told, he represented me when I was having my spat with Governor Pritzker, and he kicked me out of the press conference. So he's done a great job getting me my press pass back and other things. Good morning, Daniel. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Amy. I am great. Thanks for having me on.
Yes. So tell me what why suburban schools, I mean, this seems to be a lightning rod issue about critical race theory, but why do they think it's not that bad?
I think they always play this shell game with parents, Amy, where school districts say, oh, it's not critical race theory. We're doing culturally responsive teaching, or we're just updating our social-emotional learning standards, right? They play this shell game where they say, we're not actually doing critical race theory. That's for college kids. That's for law schools. We're just doing these other normal things. And the reality is, it's absolutely critical race theory. They just know that parents are going to be outraged if they find out what they're actually teaching their kids. And so they slap these labels on it to try to disguise it and confuse parents. And when parents find out, they're absolutely outraged, and they're right to be.
Well, give us some examples. I mean, how is Black history being taught in schools, and in what context?
Yeah, I'll give you a great example. I have a client I represent who's a high school senior. He shows up to the first day of high school required class on democracy and citizenship.
Okay.
And his teacher starts out class by saying, "Good morning, my wonderful social justice warriors."
Oh. All right.
And through the rest of the class, and we have the PowerPoint presentations that she used, they're in evidence in this case. Through the rest of the class, she talked about intersectionality. She made the students disclose to the other students their individual, like, personal identities.
Oh, no.
She would say we have a lot of unlearning to do, so that family reinforces homophobic and racist ideologies. The reality is she's the one with the racist ideology. She was the one who was classifying students based on their race and labeling them either as a dominant and an oppressor, or as a submissive race or a person from a submissive background. And all that does, it just ruins our kids. It just gives them all these lies, and it tells them to treat each other differently based on their skin color, rather than appreciating who they are as individuals. It's wrong, and parents are right to try to stop it.
It's true, because, you know, I'm Black. I have raised six Black kids, but I've never once taught them anything about their skin color, that it defined who they were. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but I look at this, you know, when you look at critical race theory and how it was the foundation of it, it was attorneys and judges getting together to figure out how much systemic, what's happening in the criminal justice system? You know, are there issues that we need to talk about? You know, but so I think so many people don't really understand what's happening with critical race theory and culturally responsive learning, because they're conflating another. They love to conflate. See, progressive, you know when there's a progressive, because they conflate things. Mm-hmm. They bring an issue that's really emotional, and an issue that they really want to get past, and they bring them together. The problem is not so much that people are teaching about Black history. The issue, in my opinion, becomes when you make somebody who's white evil, because you're born white, you're evil. Well, that makes me half evil. My dad was white, right? So when I look at places like especially the state of Illinois, not allowing a Turning Point chapter in a Chicago public school, but BLM, BLM, and all these other groups, you know, whatever pronoun you want to fall under, they're allowed, but Turning Points, they don't meet our moral objectives. What are the moral objectives? How do we define what that is? That's my question for you, sir.
Yeah, John, you're absolutely putting your finger on the right point, that one of the corollaries to critical race theory is a whole new approach to the speech police in schools.
Yes.
That one of the things that I think is core to critical race theory is this idea that wrong think, right, that having the wrong thoughts and opinions can be so harmful to someone else that you can't say it out loud. That it's that having what we would consider to be mainstream political or religious views has become hate speech, and that we as a school are authorized to suppress hate speech. And so a group like Turning Point, that we would look at and say, oh, they're part of the mainstream of American political discourse. Like all of a sudden they have to be pushed out and stopped from being in a school. And the irony then is, in the name of inclusivity, we actually exclude people.
Right.
In the name of diversity, we actually reduce the number of diverse opinions within our school community. We say to some students, your views, your opinions, your faith, they're not welcome here. Don't speak up with it because it might hurt somebody else's feelings. Well, and that's just wrong. America is built on a marketplace of ideas where we can all come to the table and share what we believe. And if we think someone's wrong, then, you know, it's that classic line. I think you're wrong, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. We've lost that in our school.
That's so true. So let's move over to District 203 in Naperville. They have some equity director, or what's all that about?
Yeah, equity is just one of these labels that we use for this whole ideology, diversity, equity, inclusion, DEI. And I think it's telling that we now have full-time bureaucrats whose job it is to advance this agenda within our schools, right? We don't have full-time people like focused on curriculum or reading specialists. We're going to tax taxpayers more to pay for people whose job it is to just push this ideology within our schools. And I think it just shows how embedded this has become, that it's not just about, like you said, John, it's not just about teaching Black history. It's not just about teaching history overall in a fair and honest way. Yeah. It's about advancing an agenda and having a full-time person on staff whose job it is to enforce this ideology and make sure it's incorporated into every aspect of a school system.
And Daniel, we wonder why China's kicking our butt in educational outcomes. And we wonder about all these other countries because you know what? They're actually preparing their kids to take over the world while we're preparing our kids to be to do just stupidity of the world, be the stupid
right,
kids of
emotions.
The world. You know, but Daniel, I'm going to say this, and I've said this on my show, Black and Right, countless times. Until the white person looks a person in the face and says, shut up, I'm not going to allow that. I'm not, just because I'm white, I'm not racist, I'm not prejudiced. You're the one that's racist. You're the one that's prejudiced, not me. And I don't care if you're black, because black people can be racist. But the way they've redesigned the definition of racism, you have to be, you know, it used to be, you know, you thought your race was superior than anybody else. That was just a plain, simple, so that was anybody. But now they added a lever of power. You have to have a lever of power over the race. Well, here in Illinois, how many black people are in positions of power?
They all are.
Exactly.
Mayor. Cook County State Security Board
Cook
President.
Cook County Board President.
Superintendent Brown.
Attorney General.
Kwame Raoul. Yeah, so it's not, I mean, do we live in a better place now?
Yeah, but what, were 4,500 people shot in the city of Chicago? Daniel?
Yeah, John, I think you're totally on the right track here. The good news is our society has moved in a better direction, right? Now we aren't in the 1950s anymore. We're not in these segregated communities anymore. We live in places where we have, you know, people from a variety of backgrounds in positions of power. And I think one of the things I find so scary is when people start using their power to allocate government benefits based on race, right? So one of the things we've seen consistently coming out of Congress and the Biden administration and even some local governments is saying, well, if you can check a particular racial box, you can come to the front of the line for a COVID vaccine. If you can check a particular racial box, you can come to the front of the line for a restaurant loan to keep in business. If you check a right racial box, we'll forgive your Department of Agriculture loans. If you don't check one of these boxes, you're out of luck.
Right.
But just the simple fact of checking this box that identifies you with this race, then you get this special treatment from the government. And so that's where these levers of power become scary,
yeah,
is when the government starts allocating things that we pay for, things that we as taxpayers all subsidize together, and saying just simply based on race, we're going to treat people differently in government programs. That's when those levers of power start getting used in ways that are that not just wrong, they're unconstitutional.
You're listening to Daniel Sir, managing attorney for Liberty Justice Center. Waking up to news this morning that a state senator in California is proposing to force all students to get vaccinated K through 12. The proposed law would add the COVID vaccine to the state's list of required school vaccinations. Hopefully that's not happening here in Illinois, that it's always a possibility. But you're also planning to sue over Cook County and Chicago vaccine passports.
Yeah, absolutely, Amy. It is just so disappointing to see how freedom in Illinois, when you thought it could not be restricted any further, yet once again, we see this new order from Cook County and the city of Chicago that basically wants to say to people who choose to exercise their individual medical freedom to be unvaccinated, to say to those people, you are pariahs, you are outcasts, and we don't want you in society.
They're murderers.
Right? That's essentially what we're saying with this new system. Yeah.
So who do you need to sue? So who do you need to sue, and why is this illegal?
Yeah, so we're going to sue the mayor and the Cook County. We have a number of claims. It is a violation of equal protection. It is a violation of religious liberty in the Cook County order. Get this, Amy. Mm-hmm. Under these orders, if you are a sports star or a musical celebrity and you come to Chicago, you don't have to be vaccinated or show your papers. You can be on the sidelines
hypocrisy.
And drinking Gatorade, no problem. But if you're a person of faith who has a religious objection, you are out of luck, right? Like that double standard, there's no way that's going to hold up in court.
And how many clients do you have? Is it a class action lawsuit?
Yeah, so we already represent a number of citizens in both Cook and Chicago. But if you are listening right now and you especially own a restaurant or another business that is being impacted by these regulations, I'd love you to join Amy in the Daniel Sir Client Club.
Yes.
I would love for you to contact us at libertyjusticecenter.org, libertyjusticecenter.org. Reach out to us if you want to join us in fighting back. We represent all our clients for free. It's part of our mission as a nonprofit organization. But we need people willing to stand with us in this fight for freedom, to step up and be willing to get in the fight. I always joke, the difference between a law review article and a case is a client.
Wow.
Right? I have to have somebody who's willing to put their name on the line and get in this fight with me. So please, libertyjusticecenter.org.
Because it is scary. I mean, when you and I teamed up to sue Governor Pritzker, you're suing the governor of a state. and it's scary stuff, but you made it so simple and so easy because we knew the law was on our side. But, again, it's libertyjusticecenter.org. You're one of the best in the business. And, again, I wish you all the success in the world. And thank you so much, Daniel Sir, for joining us.
Take care.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on. Stay in the fight.
Okay. And, again, it's libertyjusticecenter.org. Managing attorney, Daniel Sir.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
All right. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony and Dan Croft.
Hey, hey, hey.
Appreciate it. You son of a... Come on! I think everybody's heard it now, but in case you haven't, President Biden got a little lippy yesterday. I don't know if he was losing his marbles, trying to be sarcastic.
Losing?
Well, he's in front of a microphone, okay? When you're in front of a microphone, it could be a hot mic moment at any point in time.
Mr. President, could you give us a brief update on your call with European leaders on what's happening in Ukraine today?
The only reason I don't like doing this is you never report on why I've called a meeting. And this is really important. I had a very, very, very good meeting, total unanimity with all the European leaders. We'll talk about it later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Why are you sending 8,500 troops to Ukraine, possibly?
Thank you, guys. Will you take questions on inflation, Matt?
Thank you.
Thank you all. Do you think inflation is a political
liability? That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a...
And what he was asking was, okay, what about inflation. Do you think inflation is a political liability in the midterms? That was
it is.
Peter Ducey asked. Well, yeah. And then Peter Ducey went on and talked about his feelings. How does that make you feel?
Well, you know, the White House and the communications officials here had been signaling last week when they had their first year in office anniversary that they were going to take a different approach with reporters. And we thought that that meant after he did the 2-hour press conference, oh, well, he's just going to be available for Q&A more often. But maybe it's more stuff like this.
Well, it's good that you can smile.
Well, if I don't smile, I'm just going to be a ball of tears, and I can't because I have to do a hit with Brett Baer in 10 minutes. So.
But then, guess what? He got a call from, you know, the big guy.
Big guy.
You know, the big guy. That's how Hunter described him, you know, because we got to give a cut to the big guy.
After years of clips of the president and I kind of mixing it up on the campaign trail and during the transition and here at the White House, within about an hour of that exchange, he called my cell phone and he said, "It's nothing personal, pal." And we went back and forth and we were talking about just kind of moving forward. And I made sure to tell him that I'm always going to try to ask something different than what everybody else is asking. And he said, "You've got to." And that's a quote from the president. So I'll keep doing it.
With more on this, let's welcome back our very, very dear friend, the one and only Ed Morrissey. He's senior editor for HotAir.com. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, John.
Hey,
doing
great. Morning.
How about yourselves?
Yeah, so well, what did you think of the SOB comment, huh? How did he not know after decades in Washington that when you're in front of a microphone, it could be on?
Actually, I thought it was the most connected he'd been to reality in a long time. I mean, he's very aware now that that inflation is going to be a big, big political problem for Democrats. I mean, that's sort of the gist of what he was saying. He was being sarcastic by saying, "No, it's going to be a great asset." You know, what an idiot! I don't know how much we can actually how closely I can quote this on Salem's air, but you know, this is akin to you know, George Bush calling Adam Clymer an expletive, let's say, in front of a mic at a rally. I think that Peter Ducey and Sean Hannity last night, when Ducey was explaining the phone call from Biden, I think they took exactly the right tone. This is kind of just an amusing aside. It makes Biden not look terribly good. It makes Ducey look like he is living rent-free in Biden's head. I think that's great for Ducey, probably great for Fox News, too. And I think it's a lot of fun to talk about, but I don't know that it's any more meaningful than that.
Yeah, I was just surprised that the mainstream media, I mean, I watched NBC Nightly News, I watched ABC News, CNN, and they all talked about it. They didn't shy away from it, which really pleasantly surprised me. Could they be coming around, Ed Morrissey, or is this just one and done?
I'm not sure that they're coming around because, when they were talking about this type of thing when George Bush did it 22 years ago, they were talking about it like it was an affront to democracy. And we got this, you know, weekly, if not daily, during the Trump administration, because Donald Trump, this was the way he treated most reporters and on a pretty constant basis. And so yesterday it was, you know, you had some of the people saying, "Oh, well, you know, it's he was just being sarcastic and trying to excuse it away." And I think that the hypocrisy is also a lot of fun to note. But again, not terribly meaningful, because we know that most of the tongue cluckers were hypocrites anyway.
Right. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Ukraine and a pending war that probably Joe Biden wants right now to reset his presidency. But the State Department, they reduced staff at the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine, and they ordered family members to leave. Knowing what happened in Afghanistan, would you have already have booked your ticket?
Well, yeah, I mean, as a private citizen, but I got to be honest, I'm not sure why we're pulling staff, maybe the families, but I'm not sure why we're pulling staff out of there. Even if this isn't Afghanistan, even if the Russians do invade, they're not going to attack embassies. This isn't a radical terrorist cabal that's looking to annihilate everybody in their path. They're not going to disturb embassies. They're not going to disturb diplomatic personnel. So I'm not exactly sure why they're doing that. And the EU isn't sure either. Joseph Borrell yesterday was asked by reporters, "Hey, the U.S. is pulling people out of Ukraine. When is the EU going to do it?" And Borrell said, "We don't know why the U.S. is doing it. They haven't explained it to us, but we don't see any reason to pull people out of there." And I'm not sure that there really is. I think it's That, I think, is an overreaction based on Joe Biden's disastrous press conference and the whole minor incursion thing. And now he wants to look tough by retreating, which is a very odd construct.
Well, who do you trust? I don't trust a word Biden says, you know, because remember, on July 4th, COVID's going to be in the rearview mirror. So I don't trust him at all.
Right.
A number of things that he said, especially with this. And then what happened in Afghanistan? Do you trust the State Department, the Pentagon? I mean, who is there any, you know, anyone at all that you can rely on?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think that it's no secret that Putin sees Ukraine as a strategic part of Russia. I don't think anybody's disputing that. We got an up close and personal look at that in 2014 when he seized Crimea and occupied the Donbass. I mean, technically, you don't have Russian troops in there, but they're basically Russian proxies that have occupied Donbass. And he wants to make sure that he has buffers between himself and NATO and Ukraine, Belarus. That was the reason why he invaded Georgia in 2008 and seized Abkhazia and South Ossetia. And, I mean, this is part of a pattern for Putin. So, I mean, that to me is a no-brainer. What I am still unclear on is why succeeding American administrations have not figured this out until now.
Yeah. And you know, Ed, I'm sorry, but I'm not worried about the paper tiger Russia. I'm worried about what China's doing. They're quiet right now. And you look at, I personally think China's the bigger issue for America. I think they've always been the bigger issue for America. What are your thoughts about what China and Russia, you think there's some collusion there? You know, hey, you go and make some noise while we're doing what?
Well, absolutely. I think that our policy has more or less allowed them to collaborate. I wouldn't call it collusion. I'd just call it collaboration. I think that they're acting strategically together. They've been doing that for years. And I would also caution that don't discount Russia. Russia is still a military power. Russia is still an economic power. Our energy policy is strengthening their economic power by allowing prices to increase for oil and other energy products, and that is pumping money into Putin's pocket so he can do things like this. Don't discount Russia. Russia is malevolent. Russia is a serious, I wouldn't say enemy, but I would say something between hostile and unfriendly.
Yeah.
Entity to the United States.
One more quick question. So you remember when Joe Biden was thinking about running, and then when he finally declared, they basically said that Trump's Justice Department was off limits to Joe Biden. Should Trump declare that he's running now so Joe Biden's Justice Department is off limits to Trump?
I guess you could make that argument. I think he's got other fish to fry at the moment, though. The problem with declaring is that then all of a sudden all of your activities come under the scrutiny of the FEC, which is the reason why candidates postpone a formal announcement as long as they possibly can in a competitive environment. So I wouldn't anticipate any sort of anything like that until probably a year from now would probably be the earliest that that Trump would do that. But in that sense, I think as soon as it's feasible and he can make sure that he disentangles himself from other activities so that the FEC doesn't pry into them, yeah, absolutely. I think it makes sense for him then, if he's going to run, to declare so that he can get that sort of buffer.
Yeah.
So over the week, or not over the weekend, while we were sleeping, California is now trying to impose a vaccine mandate for all students, K through 12. They also, no more cloth masks at LA Unified School District. They all have to be N95 masks. Biden's sending out 400 million masks. Do you think that's a little too late for all of this?
Yes, especially with Omicron, right? I mean, masking is a mitigation strategy, right? And it makes some sense when you are dealing with a truly novel virus that nobody has any immunity to. But now that you've got Omicron spreading to the population like wildfire, and you have, around 230 million Americans that are fully vaccinated, maybe not boosted, but have the two shots of the mRNA or the one shot of Johnson & Johnson, it doesn't make a lot of sense to do this, especially with kids, because kids are not a vector for COVID, especially smaller kids. They're just simply not. I mean, the data from schools, both in the United States and in Europe, shows that they don't generate community transmission, and or they don't boost community transmission. So it makes no sense to mask the kids up. It makes no sense to vaccinate the kids specifically for that purpose, or maybe other reasons to vaccinate the kids. But I'm not sure that we have the science on that yet either.
Wow.
When do you think this is going to end? 2024? 2023? What's your prediction?
October 2022.
Really?
Right before the election.
That's my firm prediction.
Even the liberals are so sick of it.
Wait, Ed. You know, here in Highland Park, you know, there's a mandate shutdown until February 14th. So, you know, that probably plays into what you're trying to say then.
Yeah, because you need the Valentine's Day crowd.
Yeah. You got to go fill those restaurants.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Ed Morrissey,
yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much. We always appreciate when you're on the program with your knowledge and expertise. We appreciate it, and we'll have you back soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Ed Morrissey, senior editor for HotAir.com, and he joined us on our Turnkey.pro answer line.
You're listening to Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Hey. Oh, yeah. I don't know. And they want to wonder how I keep them going under. Who sings this song, Justin? No, he doesn't know either. Look at, he's digging deep. He doesn't know because he's 12 and came here on his skateboard today, right? John Anthony, who sings this song? Don't touch me because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Sometimes. We're doing so well. We're having such a good show. And then. We decided.
I've listened to this since I was a kid, too.
I know.
Mike doesn't know?
Mike doesn't know? No, he doesn't know. Grandmaster Flash.
There it is.
Yeah. All right. So I'm watching the local news last night, and the headline is this. Ready? Family of 7-year-old girl hospitalized with COVID-19 encourages vaccinations. Because, you know, they're pushing the mainstream media, working with the government to push vaccination. And then halfway through the story, and it's cute. I mean, this girl, Heather, she's 7. She nearly died from multi-system inflammatory syndrome.
Oh.
Okay. So that's what she has. She's in the hospital for that. Again, the headline, family of 7-year-old girl hospitalized with COVID encourages vaccination. And then halfway through the story,
7-year-old Heather was able to go to the playroom at the hospital. My mother tells us Heather never tested positive for COVID, but a few weeks ago, her cousin was positive.
Huh?
Never tested positive for COVID.
So what?
Mm-hmm. So they are grasping at straws to show these sad stories. And the girl is so cute. And her mom, you know, she was scared to death, of course. And my heart goes out to her and her child. But they said, but later they tested her antibodies and she had the antibodies. But she's not in the hospital with COVID.
Yeah.
So just, you know, be careful because, you know, I've been accused many times of spreading misinformation.
Uh-oh. Let me just say this. You are spreading misinformation. I wish you would stop spreading misinformation. You come in here with a political agenda and you spread misinformation. And I just think you should stop. We now need to protect our children. We need to protect the people in our communities, parents, grandparents, teachers. You are working against that. And it is extremely upsetting for all of us who are trying to keep the rest of the state safe.
Killing people. All right. Got a text message. So many people have COVID antibodies at this point.
Yeah.
Amy, my kid had group cough. Am I pronouncing it right? Crew cough. Needed a nebulizer. Had COVID 2 months prior. He has antibodies, but the two have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
Nothing sadder than sick kids using one to prove a point to get vaccinated
Amy,
and get clicks is disgusting.
I don't need him to protect me.
You don't need him to protect
me. I protect myself.
Yeah.
We got to protect our kids. No, you don't have to protect my kids. You're not trying to protect my kids. You know why you're not trying to protect my kids?
What?
You signed in a sex education bill. You signed a bill that allowed 13-year-old girls. So you're not trying to protect my kids.
Abortions without parents' permission.
So I'm going to protect my kids, not you.
312-642-5600. Turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. And why he thinks I'm spreading misinformation is because I want to know what metrics have to be in place to get rid of the mask mandates.
Right.
I want to know what metrics have to be in place to get our kids unmasked at school. I want to know what science and data they are using that says masks are effective. So I bring up the point, well, everybody in Chicago, I know where you live, but everybody in Chicago is masked or double masked indoors and outdoors. Okay, everybody's walking around like doing their civic duty. Look at my new N95 mask
with the rhinestone.
Oh yeah,
it?
With the, you know, the little beaks. So everybody looks like a little bird. And so we are masked. We are so compliant. I'm compliant because I want to coach still, and I want a grocery shop to give food.
We
to
are
my
muzzled.
Kids. So why, if masks work, why did we go from 30 cases to 1,000? In Chicago, in just the blink of an eye.
Wait, but we went from 300 cases in Chicago to 1,000
Look,
cases a day.
Look, every time the numbers go down, you say you want everybody to take the masks off. Every time the numbers go up, you say you want everybody to take the masks off. I know what you stand for. Let's keep moving on. I'd like to talk to reporters.
Reporters. He missed your point.
Oh, he got me.
He missed your point, though, the point you were trying to make.
Right.
He totally,
which is?
Basically, the masks don't work.
Right.
Because no matter what we do, the cases are still going up.
And we had Ted Dabrowski on here earlier, and I always check the COVID stats. We all, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, because, you know, for some reason we're connected to Minnesota, Missouri, and Kentucky. We all had the peak up, the peak down last year. Remember last year at Thanksgiving? And this year, in December to January, we all had the peak up, and we're all falling down. And we have a mask mandate, and they don't. Does that make sense?
It makes sense in their world.
So that's why it's important when we have a gubernatorial race and we have a primary coming up in June, which is not far away, that we're going to blink and that's going to be here. We have to put somebody in place who is pro-choice. Pro-choice and not pro-choice that way. But pro, no, I want to govern my own children.
Right.
And that's why I like what Colin Mueller said when he was on here. He's like, the thing that I'm going to do, I'm going to stay out of your lives. I'm going to let you govern yourself.
Amazing.
And now one person that's put his hat in the Republican ring is mayor of Aurora, Richard Irvin. And here is his new ad.
A riotous mob. The police outnumbered, but backed up by their mayor. Richard Irvin called in the guard, closed exit ramps, shut down the riots.
Aurora will be ready for you. If you come to our community wreaking havoc, we will prosecute you. To the fullest extent of the law, we will not put up with this BS and foolishness. This, I guarantee.
They tried to burn his city down. Richard Irvin took it back. Elect Irvin governor. We'll take back our state.
That's a bit of a stretch because violence is up 40% since 2020.
I guarantee.
If you're talking about it, Dan and Amy are talking about it. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.